Hey guys.
Hey.
Great to be with you guys today. I'm Mike.
I'm Corinne. Welcome to Hendel Youth Leadership Live. Thanks for joining us, whether you're watching live now or listening, watching later on. We love to connect with you.
You sure about that?
I'm so sure.
Gosh. Good. Awesome. Yeah, it's great to be with you guys today. And Corinne, how was your weekend?
My weekend was great. I got to like see a lot of different people, traveled around. I felt like you.
Okay.
I shout out to Wrightsville, got to be with them on Thursday.
How'd that go?
It was really, really awesome to be with Wrightsville, the youth. I got to go to Central and Houston on Sunday.
Wow.
Just moving around, doing some crazy things.
Wow.
So it was fun. How was your weekend?
It was good. This weekend for us was relaxing. So for the
last, opposite.
Not very complete opposite.
Wow.
The last 2 weeks, you know, we were for Thanksgiving week, we were with Rachel's family in Quakertown. And then last week, I was in Tennessee for a Youth Alive Eastern Summit with all the Youth Alive missionaries. So it was nice to just be home for the weekend, decorate for Christmas. Now that Thanksgiving is officially over, we can decorate.
I see. I know. But
some
I hear
people,
what you're saying. It's kind of like there's no place like home for
the
holidays.
Yes, exactly.
Something like that. Yeah. No, but Mike, you're going to share a little bit with us about your time at the Youth Alive Summit, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's really cool.
Some of the things that felt like I shared with them that the Lord's been doing over the last couple of months that I think is really, I hope is going to be helpful for everyone that's watching today.
So exciting. So cool. But we are going to jump off with a couple announcements first because we are. That's what we chose to do today. First thing, guys, I cannot believe that it's this far in December already, but December 11th is the Speed the Light 2023 year-end giving deadline.
Whoa.
That's when your giving has to be postmarked in the mail to Pendel this coming Monday.
That's crazy.
That is mind-blowing, but it is happening. So if you need to do your final collections this Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or whenever you do them, Sunday, they need to be postmarked in the mail by Monday.
You know, I know we're getting ready for winter retreat for 2024.
Yeah.
But it feels like just yesterday, Luke and Joe were setting the vision for Speed the Light in winter retreat 2023.
Yep.
Here we are.
Time flies.
December.
Yeah. So. And hey, if you don't want to send your money in via mail, you can also submit it online on pendelyouth.com/give, and you will get your full credit there as well. So by Monday, December 11th, that is a strict deadline because after that, it goes to 2024.
There we go.
Yep.
All right. So December 11th, guys.
Yeah.
Our next announcement has to do with Winter Retreat 2024 coming up.
I can't believe it. It's coming.
Like a month.
Registration's live. Registrations are filling up. We already have over half of the capacity filled for all three weekends, and that's really exciting. That doesn't always happen at this point, but we are excited because I think we can sell out all three weekends. I believe that every single speaker that's coming is anointed for this specific weekend.
Absolutely.
They're so excited. So we have week one, Kyle Drost. He used to be a youth pastor in Pendel. Peckville.
Yeah, which when I met him during a Youth Alive retreat back in May, we grew up like 20 minutes apart from each other, but like we never crossed paths till now. So praise God for that. Yeah.
And now he's a Youth Alive missionary.
In Alaska. Yeah.
Alaska.
Yeah.
Wow. So you couldn't be farther apart.
Couldn't be farther
apart. But you know what I mean. Anyway, so Kyle Drost, he's week one. Gavin Brown, he's week two, and he's a pastor in Jersey.
Okay.
And also very involved in University of Valley Forge. He's awesome, dynamic speaker. And then Elise Wood, she is week three. And she and her husband, they just founded a new ministry, and I forget what it's called. Something with an R. I'm looking at Maria, and she's just laughing instead of telling me. Ripple effect. Dun, dun, dun. So yes, her and her husband started a ripple effect ministry. I can't believe I did it. Actually, it was just in my head. But they also just announced that they're planting a church. So exciting things happening for them. And Elise Wood is, she's a dynamic speaker, and we're gonna bring her up in a little minute about something else. But anyway, if you need to register for Winter Retreat, get on it. We're excited. All info can be found at pendelyouth.com/winterretreat, including the media kit.
Wow.
So if you need to start promoting, Let's do it.
Start now.
So fun. Awesome. Yes.
And that's cool. That's awesome that like all 3 weeks are at half capacity.
Yeah.
That's
some
awesome.
Some of them are over.
Wow.
Yeah.
Praise God for that.
Yeah.
So, our next announcement has to do with the AIM trip coming up in 2024, which mm-hmm. is where I'm excited about. All information about this is on PendleYouth.com. But if in case you forgot, we did extend the deadline to February 16th. Mm-hmm. The total cost for the event is $650, but all applications and $125 deposit must be postmarked by February 16th. I'm excited for this trip.
I'm going.
Yeah. I'm partnering with Youth Alive's partnering with AIM to go on this trip. I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be a great opportunity for students who have never gone on a missions trip outside of Pennsylvania,
yeah.
right? To go to New York and serve and see what it's like to serve in your own country and,
yeah.
in the mission field. And also, as well, I found out that Alabama's coming is going to be there the
so
same
cool.
week. We're going to be there. So.
Alabama Youth
yes.
Network
Alabama, yes.
or whatever
so
it is.
Shout out Ben Russell. We'll see you there as well. So
yeah.
If you need more information about it, visit our website. We have all the details on the AIM trip to New York.
Yeah, hey, Fine Arts is coming too. Everything's coming. So exciting. Fine Arts 2024 is happening March 27th and 28th. That's the Wednesday and Thursday before Easter. And all the information is live on our website. The deadline for registration, and this is really important because it's different from past years. The deadline is February 9th for your registration, which is fully online. But that also includes all the uploaded entries for your writing categories and your video categories. So if you have a student who's going to write a poem, they have to have that written and completed, submitted by that registration date. So it's not just they register and then they write it and they have time. They need to start doing that now. So make sure that you take a look at the category lists that are available for your students, go through that with them, and help those kids that are wanting to do written entries or video entries get started immediately. So all of that, do February 9th, all of the buttons and all the stuff is available on the website. One thing that is not digital is the lodging and meals still are through the same channels that you used to register for those things. So that form and paying by a check is all that info is online.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Wow.
Last, kind of, but not least, camp.
Not least,
not
Mike.
Least. Not least at all.
Not kind of not least.
Camp 2024. We
four
have a
whole camps.
Four whole camps.
Four whole camps.
Which is exciting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of information that's come down, and it's on the Pendel Youth website, but there
yeah.
are some things that we want to explain. We're talking over it, making sure we want to communicate this effectively to you guys so
yeah.
there's no misunderstandings.
Exactly.
So we're gonna
we're gonna talk through it right
yes.
now. Here we go. Okay, so registration for camp will open February 1st. That is going to be a one price registration cost for all of camp.
Okay.
Hold on, let me say that again. We do not have early, regular, or late registrations this year. We have one price that's going to cover all of camp.
Perfect.
So whether you register on February 1st or not, there will be no price difference for you. However, there is a difference in our payment plan that
okay.
we got to talk through.
Right.
So you have your initial deposit or your initial registration that will be $75 per student. So that's less than in past years.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I think it was like 100 or something. This year, it's 75. And that is for whether you are a group registrant or an individual. $75, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
So that is a non-refundable registration. So you're going to register as many kids as you think are going to come for $75 each, and that is non-refundable. Then, on or before April 1st, you have a second really, really important deadline. Really, really important.
So if you're paying attention,
yes,
or maybe if you've tuned out for a second, you need
bring
to
bring it back in.
You need to focus here for a second because we don't want you guys to misunderstand something or feel like this wasn't communicated.
We're saying it right now.
Right now. So focus in, bring it to
yes. me. So you've made your initial registration. Say you've wanted 20 spots, 20 students, right? By April 1st, you have to make a final decision on how many spots you want out of those 20. So if you want all 20, awesome. You pay another $75 to lock in those spots for your church. If you decide, actually, I think I can only bring 12 kids, then you're going to pay $75 for those 12 kids. And you've just lost out on your initial deposit for the remaining spots up to the 20. But after that time, you will not be able to keep those spots for yourself unless you go in and you do the whole process again. So let me lay it out. You do your initial deposit, $75. By April 1st, you do the second payment of $75 for those spots. Those are your spots that now you are committing to through all the rest of camp. And the reason that we're doing this is because last year there were a lot of groups that really over committed and say they said they wanted the 20, we're just keeping that number, and then they only brought 8 kids. So all of that time until they finally decided, there were a lot of groups who weren't able to get into camp.
Right, that's 12 extra spots that could
have been used. Right, that someone, a whole group maybe could have fit into that spot. So to keep everything fair, we're keeping all the prices the same so that by the time after April 1st, if you didn't get in for the week you wanted to get in, there will be more spots open by that time for you to be able to make that, again, initial deposit, and then the second 75 to lock in your spots for all of camp.
Okay. Whew. Okay. That was good. Good job, Corinne.
So February 1st starts registration. April 1st, really big, important date for you youth pastors. And then your final balance will be paid anytime between that April 1st date and the beginning of camp. So you'll notice if you look on pendleyouth.com/camp, it's all written out pretty clearly. And that should help you kind of get a visual on, okay, this is how much it'll be. Mm-hmm. And for the week-long camps versus the weekend camps. So pay attention to those dates. All the speakers are also listed. Yes. Everything's getting ready. The promo video, not quite yet, but it's coming soon. I've had a couple people asking. But all of your graphics, all your promotional materials are available now in the media kit. All of your forms, everything is ready now. So you can start making your plan for what you want to do. So by February 1st. Ready to go.
There we go. Hey, and I want to shout out, you know, both Corinne and Maria for this, because they're not just focusing on projects for the rest of 2023. They're already in advance for 2024 to help you guys, right? Mm-hmm. And so all the extra work and everything that they have to do to get the info out for you, the registration, you know, for when all that starts and that, just a big shout out to them and the hard work that they do with that, because
thanks, Mike.
You're welcome. No, because honestly, because you're giving everything that these youth pastors need, right?
Hopefully.
Well, hopefully, right?
And if there's something that you feel unclear on, please reach out to Joe at pendleyouth.com.
We'll give you a cell phone.
Reach out to our office, send Maria an email, and we'll make sure that we get you guys what you need, or we clarify whatever you need clarified. I know that this is a change for this coming year, but please know we have thought, we have talked, and we have prayed over the whole process to try to make the best decisions that we can so that everyone can participate in camp who wants to.
And also as well with like the pricing, and you guys will see that information on the pricings for each camp and that. We were in prayer and conversation about that, because we want to make this affordable for you guys and for your students to come in that. And I just want to say, like, it is compared to other camps that are out there, and not just church camps, but like other nonprofit organizations that maybe aren't Christian, like and looking at their camp prices, like we're very affordable for you guys.
Yeah,
so, but again, any questions that you have, please visit the website. As Corinne said, just call Joe and he'll do it.
Yeah,
we're picking on Joe. He's away for the week at a DYD retreat. So,
yeah.
Joe, we love you. Appreciate everything that you've done in your first year as DYD.
Wow, that was so nice, Mike.
I don't want to think we're picking on him too much. Yeah. Right?
Hey, there's one last thing, and that is a new resource, right, Mike?
Yeah, and I actually found this out in Tennessee during our Youth Alive Summit in the Eastern Region. So Linda Seiler, if you remember, she spoke during our Spirit Tour 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2022.
Yeah, 2022. 2 years ago. And if you don't know, Linda Seiler is the leading voice in our fellowship on gender dysphoria or transgenderism and same-sex attraction. She recently wrote a book called Transformation, A Former Transgender Response to LGBTQ. And during the summit that I was at, we found out that we can request free copies of this book, courtesy of U.S. Missions. So thank you, U.S. Missions, for allowing us to do this. So I requested about 200 of these books to come in, some of which will go to the Youth Alive team and that. But if you as youth pastors would like a copy of this book, you can give one copy to a youth pastor. I'm going to put a form down that you guys can fill out in the group in the coming days. We want to make sure we get these books in your guys' hand. I think it's going to be a great teaching tool, especially if you're having students today. I can think of in my time as youth pastor, I remember specifically a student come up to me and she's like, how do I have a conversation with someone who struggles with that? Mm-hmm. Right. And I believe this book is going to be one of those books that helps you answering that question.
Students who were transgender.
Yeah.
Or that's how they identified. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things to navigate.
Yes.
A lot of things. So hopefully Linda Seiler's expertise and personal testimony in this area will be a great resource to you. And I think so awesome that it's free.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you, U.S. Missions, for providing that. And also as well, I know we've talked about this. If you're going to Orlando in March.
Next Gen Conference.
I believe she's going to be there. I think she is a speaker, whether it's a general speaker or a workshop speaker. She is going to be there. So I think it would be cool for us, you know, as a network to not only be able to dive into her resource that we're getting in the book, but also as well for those of us who are going to Orlando to really listen to what she has to say.
Because
what she's doing is really important for this generation of students who are, you know, struggling with identity in all aspects. I think she brings information that we need today.
That's awesome. And hey, something else we haven't talked about in a little while on here, but I saw recently in some comments on this page, the Bible Engagement Project is an amazing free resource from the National Office that provides lots of different options for discipleship. Hmm. And so I would encourage you just like go on the website and check it out just to see even what they have to offer. So lots of things for walking students through discipleship processing, through small groups, through teachings, parents, resources, lots of different things. Yeah. So if you haven't checked it out in a while, why not?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So Mike, you went on your Youth Alive thing.
I did.
And you had the best time ever.
Had the best time ever.
So tell us about it. Tell us what you learned, what you experienced.
Yeah. So first off, down south, they have a lot of great food. But to set the scene, I want to give context before like what I shared down at the retreat. It's crazy to think that about a year ago this time, like the announcement was made that I was going to be the Youth Alive missionary and the transition process was starting. And a lot has happened in that year, right?
Yeah. You know, it's not been a big year.
A big year. And not even just like, for those who may not know the whole story, like we didn't just transition from leaving our youth pastor roles at Morningstar Fellowship, but like we also had to move. Mm-hmm. My wife at this time was like 5 or 6 months pregnant, like and jumping in all to this new role, and it was, dare I say it, chaos.
And
dare I say it. And side note here, unless the Lord has really called you to something new, don't do everything all at once. Like trying to sell a home, new transition into a new role.
Things you know what? It just happens.
It just happens. If the Lord calls you to it, He'll give you the grace and mercy to get there. Amen. Anyways, but this year has been great. You know, I'm very thankful to be in this role, and I don't just say that tongue in cheek. Like I've had some conversations over the last couple of weeks with just even with family members, and it's only by God's grace that I'm here. And so thankful for that. Thank you for all the youth pastors and the team here for encouraging me in this first year. But I will be completely honest and transparent with you guys. After convention, I've had this spiritual battle, I guess is the best way I can put it, a spiritual lull. And I think it just finally hit me, kind of like the grieving process of no longer being a youth pastor.
It's very different.
Very different. Very different. And not saying it's better, it's just different. It's just different. And you have to process all of those emotions of, you know, it's different to being in the church to now serving the church in a different capacity. And there have been some battles, there have been some challenges, you know, that I have had to overcome. One of which is sometimes that pressure of what people will say, mm-hmm. right? So during Thanksgiving, I had some conversations where it made like, I'm just going to say, I guess the best way I can say it is like, there are people who are like thinking I'm coming back, mm-hmm. right? You know, like you're coming back to the area at some point and, you know, we're hoping that you do. And, God bless them for that. I get that they're being
they love you.
They love me, and yeah. I appreciate that. But I'm here to just say, like, this is what God has called Rachel and I to do.
Yeah.
And we're very thankful to be in this role. We're excited to do what we're able to do. But I will be honest that there, with some of this confusion and things that have been said, I was wrestling with the Lord, and I shared this down in Tennessee. I was wrestling with the Lord, like, Lord, I know you're not the author of confusion. You set us on the path that you want us to be on. So can you please give me some insight here?
Yeah.
What is going on? Because I'm feeling the insecurity build up inside a little bit. Things like that. And he led me to Exodus 33. And that's where I want to put our devotional at today, talk about here today. Just for context, in Exodus 32, we have the golden calf situation happen.
Crazy.
Right? Yes. And I find it interesting that Aaron, like, gives in to the people, like, hey, we want a golden calf. All right.
All right.
We're just going to build one. And golden calf is built. Moses is like, what have you done? And the Lord, you know, is saying.
I'll leave you for 1 second.
And I told you, you know. And the Lord is, like, angry and upset. And he says you know, I'm not going with you. I'm not going to the promised land or anything like that at this point. You can go. And then in Exodus 33. Starting at verse 12, we see a conversation that's taking place. Moses sees the Lord's glory. So one day Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, take the people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people. So Moses at this point is interceding for the people. Like Lord's like, you guys go ahead. If I go with you guys, like, I'm going to destroy it. Because he's that angry of you know, the idolatry of the golden, God. Yeah, of the golden calf. And then verse 14, the Lord replied, I will go personally with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Moses continues on in his plea in verse 15. If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth. And so the first point I want to make here, and this is the best I can do, and I know it may be a little bit wordy, but it is better to be in the Lord's presence outside the promised land than to be in the promised land without the Lord's presence.
Yeah, straight up.
I'll say it again. It's better to be in the Lord's presence outside the promised land than to be in the promised land without the Lord's presence. Now, I know there are sermons out there that talk about the promised land is heaven. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. And yes, our promised land is to be in heaven. But I'm talking about the promised land that maybe God has put in our hearts and on our desires.
In his will, his right. perfect will, his
right.
purpose for us.
Exactly. Yeah. And you may be thinking, man, when are we ever going to get there?
Yeah.
What will I even see? You know, because Moses didn't get to go in with the people, but he got to see the promised land. What am I going to see this promised land happen? And there can be this temptation to be like, well, I'm going to do it my way.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do it my way. And, I just want to get there quicker. I want to get there faster. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, like, why? Why would you do that? Why would I do that? And even in this new role, right? Like, in some of the conversations I've had with people, some people have said, man, you took a demotion because you're no longer in a pulpit once or twice a week. Some people said, man, you've taken a promotion and this is great. And neither is here or there. I don't necessarily look at it as a demotion or a promotion. I just look at it as a new assignment from the Lord.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. And in my conversation, when I was wrestling through with some of the stuff that was being said to me, I just felt like the Lord was saying to me, based off of what I'm reading here, like, Mike, you can go back to whatever you think these people say you should and do whatever, but I want you to know I'm not going to be there.
It might be a good thing, right? It's the promised land.
Right.
That's a good thing.
Right.
But it's not where God is.
Right. And to me, why would I go? And I remember texting Rachel this. I said, listen, we're not good. Like, no changes are happening. Like, this is what we're called to do. And I'm not going to jeopardize our family in a spiritual sense to do something out of our own flesh and out of people's approval if that's not what God wants.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if God's presence is here, God's presence is, this is what I want you to do as Youth Alive missionaries, and that's our assignment.
Yeah.
That's our assignment, right?
Yeah.
And in that, I feel like my role as the Youth Alive missionary, yes, is to help students share the love of Jesus. But I will also say, like, in this new season, it's an assignment to hide in the rock of the Lord and allow healing to take place, not just in my own personal life, but for the church as well.
Yeah.
To go out and hopefully by God's grace and the words that he gives to encourage the church to endure what's going on. I feel like there are churches across Pendel and maybe even youth ministries across Pendel where they just feel hurt. They feel broken. They go back to what Joe talked about, the dry bones, right? And at youth pastor retreat. And we need to see those dry bones come alive.
Yeah. Again. Yeah. So it's discouraging sometimes to look out into your congregation of students and be like, can anyone hear me?
Right.
Are they getting this? Do they grasp God's love for them and their assignment with him? Right. Or some maybe are scared.
Yeah.
Just like, what does this even mean?
Right. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And in that discouragement and some of the stuff that you're feeling, there is that temptation to be like, well, maybe this isn't what God wants. Maybe, and you know, you allow those lies of the enemy to come
in. Raise your hand if you've ever wanted to quit once a month.
Facts. but here's the thing. We talked about this. Jesus didn't promise that this would be easy.
Right.
He actually warned us, this is going to be hard. This is going to be hard. You're going to have to carry your cross daily. And that's why we need to always be in the presence of the Lord. Because if we're not, which I'm going to get to my second point here. If we're not hiding in the rock of the Lord, that's where the troubles can happen.
Yeah.
And this leads me to my second point, that humility and instruction are birthed from hiding in the rock. In Exodus 33:19-23, I want to go back one verse. After the Lord replied, I will indeed do what you have asked. So the Lord is saying, you know what? I'm going with you guys. I'll go with you guys to the promised land. I'll be with you. Moses then responds. Yeah, right? Like, thank you, Lord. Moses then responds this, then show me your glorious presence. Which I feel like that should be a prayer for all of us.
Yeah, big time.
Today,
like,
right? All of this, right? Like, show me your glorious presence. Like, okay, Lord, if you have not called, like, if you've called me to this, or if you're, you know, people we know that are in seasons of transition in this new assignment and their new assignments, like, if you've called me to this, show me your glorious presence in a way that I've never experienced it before.
Yeah.
Right? And so then the Lord replies in verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live. The Lord continued, look, stand near me on this rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen.
What a glorious God.
Yeah. To say, all right, like to respond to, like, when you read that, like, and you have to be careful how you read it, but it seems like Moses demanding, well, I demand you show me your glorious presence. Then. After he says he's coming with you, I'd be like, thank you. At least you're coming with, but now he's like, I want to see your glorious presence. And the Lord's like, okay,
listen, he's been bold in his prayer so far. Why not?
just one more boldness for it, right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing, like, and the Lord gave instruction to Moses on how he was going to see his glorious presence. It had to take humility from Moses to hide in that room. And sometimes in a season of hiding, what I mean by that is like seeing the glorious presence of the Lord in the Lord in ways that you haven't before. Sometimes hiding in that rock will take humility. It will take humility to like if God, like for example, right? People have said, well, you're not preaching as much as you used to. Okay. That's fine. But that's not my assignment anymore. The Lord has hid me in this rock to do what he called me to do in this time. And part of that could be for protection. Part of that could be for healing, whatever.
Preparation.
Yeah, whatever. Preparation, right? And so it takes humility to hide in the rock and to allow the Lord's presence to work in your life, to speak to you, which that's where instruction, I believe, is going to be birthed as well. Because we see in verses like chapters 34 to 39, all the instructions that come afterwards for the Ten Commandments, to Sabbath, to the building of the tabernacle. Right. So hiding in the glorious presence of the Lord allowed Moses to hear instructions. Well, this is what's next for you and the people.
Yeah.
So good. And a question we have to ask ourselves, and I say we because we're all in this together, is how often are we hiding ourselves in the rock to hear instruction from the Lord? Mm-hmm. Right? Like we can come up with all of our plans and ideas, and I'm that guy. Like I like to plan 5 years in advance. And I was actually like praying on something for Youth Alive that I'd love to see in the future. And I distinctly heard in 3 years. I'm like,
3 years? That feels like an eternity.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I thought. I'm like, can we reconsider it? And like, no, 3 years. I'm like, okay, in 3 years. So just put that on the shelf. In 3 years, we'll come talk about that. But
I think that's so good. You said, how often do we hide ourselves to hear instruction from the Lord? Mm. I think for me, a lot of like my personal time with Jesus is like praying, reading his word, and I should really be listening probably a lot more.
Yeah.
You know, it's worshiping him, it's praising him, but how often is it, God, what are your instructions for me now?
Right.
And I'm going to listen.
I'm going to listen because what do we tend...
I don't, literally, I could die.
Right.
Like, right?
Exactly.
That's what he gives such specific instructions for a reason.
Yeah.
He knows every single thing.
Right. He could die. Like, and yes, in that instance that Moses could have died physically. But what if God tells you, what if you do something God hasn't called you to do in the season that he has you to do? You can die spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
You can die emotionally. Like we talked about, the issue with pastors today with mental health and certain things like that. And yeah, it's just really important for us to take that time to hear from the Lord. And that means sitting in silence sometimes. I don't know about you, but this is something someone told me this early on. Like, if you always have something going and you can never sit in silence for about 20 minutes, that means there's something wrong eternally because the silence scares you for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And so it takes humility to hide in the rock of the Lord, and instruction is found there. And then the last thing I just want to say is that don't view your season of hiding as a punishment from the Lord. View your season of hiding as preparation to see the glory of God put on display.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so we know that Moses went into hiding in the rock and that the Lord used his hand to cover him. Now, the scriptures don't say how long that took.
Right.
Right, like we don't know how long he hid in the rock. We don't know how long that covering of God's hand was over him. But when Moses came down after that, he was different.
Yeah, visibly.
Visibly different. Like you read, I think it's in chapter 34. Like they can see the glow on Moses, and the people were freaking out.
They're like,
whoa! To the point that like we have to put a veil on you.
Yeah.
Right. It scared them so much. Like we have to put a veil on you. And then afterwards, we see the building of the tabernacle. And at the end of chapter 40, it says that the Lord's glory fills the tabernacle. And it says this, then the cloud covered the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could no longer enter the tabernacle because the cloud had settled down over it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud lifted from the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out on their journey following it. But if the cloud did not rise, they remained where they were until it lifted. I think that's big. Convicting. The cloud of the Lord hovered over the tabernacle during the day, and at night fire glowed inside the cloud so the whole family of Israel could see it. This continued throughout all their journeys. Wow. And so, because of hiding and receiving instruction, the glory of the Lord was put on display at the tabernacle. And it was also a sign of like, hey, we're going to move.
Yeah.
No, I need you to stay.
I love that Moses was obedient to hide, mm-hmm. And to be covered by the Lord. And not only did it affect him personally, but it affected all of the people that he was leading.
Right?
Like, he himself could not contain that he had been with God.
Yeah.
Like, he had seen the glory of God. That will change someone for literally forever.
Absolutely.
And then it was so evident to his people that they were like, all right, we're going to trust. And God continued to reveal himself and his will for them because of his obedience.
Yeah.
That's so good.
And let that be a reminder for all of us. Joe, you guys have talked about it on other things. Our students are watching. Mm-hmm. Our leaders, the leaders that you have on your team, are watching. And if we're, again, if we're not willing to be obedient to hiding, as you said, we're sending a communication. It's not really that big of a deal to hide. It's not that big of a deal to put ourselves in prayer, to listen to the Lord's instruction.
I can just get by on charisma.
Charisma, my own strength,
and
maybe this is a little rude, so I apologize in advance. I say this out of love, but I think that shows arrogance and pride in saying, I'm better than God, and I don't know. I look at Mike Kubis, and I'm like, no way.
Yeah, no way.
No way. I there are things that God has done, even in this year, where I'm like, no way.
Yeah.
No way. And so my hope and prayer is that somehow this was encouraging. My prayer is that
it's encouraging to me. So
okay. You got one. Appreciate that. My encouragement for all of us is that it's okay to be in hiding in a season where, again, not hiding where like, hey Joe, I'm in sabbatical for 6 months. You know, I'm never
that would not fly.
That yeah, not at all. That's not what I mean. What I mean is like, be okay if the Lord's like, hey, I know you have all these plans and these ideas, but why don't you take this season to hide and listen to me and do what I'm asking of you to do right now in preparation for what's to come? Because I can have all these plans and ideas. They're no better than what God had planned.
Yep. And that's a fact.
So my hope and prayer is that we can rest mm-hmm. in the presence of the Lord, knowing that, yes, whatever your promised land is or whatever you think your promised land is, mm-hmm. know that it's way better to be in the presence of the Lord than to be in a promised land that he's not in there with you.
That's so good. Thanks so much for sharing, Mike, and your vulnerability. I think I was talking to Mike a little bit earlier, encouraging him to share this, saying that, hey, we need leaders who are vulnerable. We need leaders who are not afraid to share real stuff because we're humans, yeah. And we all need to hear from each other, encourage each other, but we can learn from each other so much. So thank you, Mike, for sharing that. Would you pray as we end this podcast out today?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, just thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for everyone that is watching live or will be listening to this later on, Lord God. Father, I just pray for all of our youth pastors and our youth leaders, Lord, that they would recognize in their hearts that it is way better to be in your presence. Mm-hmm. And be outside of whatever promised land may be in their hearts than to be in a promised land where you're not at, Lord Jesus. Father, I just think of being in your presence and that love that you show for us, that compassion, that mercy, the instruction of wisdom that you give us in those moments when we're hiding in your presence and taking that time, Lord Jesus. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that if there is a youth pastor today where they have struggled with certain things, chasing after things, striving to somehow find your approval in all the work that they do, I find that they know that their approval comes based off the words that you say, not anything that we we do, but off of your words, Lord Jesus. And I pray for youth pastors today that that they would set the example of being in your presence, Lord, taking that time to hide in the rock of who you are, Jesus, taking the time to listen to you, Lord, listen to your instructions, and to be obedient in those times as well, Lord. It's easy on one hand to listen to instructions. It's another thing to follow through with what's been instructed. And so, Father, I thank you in advance for all youth pastors and youth leaders in this upcoming year, what you have for them, Lord Jesus. And again, Lord, I just pray that all of our youth pastors and our youth leaders would recognize the importance of being in your presence on a daily basis. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hey, don't forget, postmark that Speed the Light giving by this Monday, December 11th, or send it in online. And we'll see you next time.
Take care, guys.